Father in heaven, thank you so much for the time where we can speak about your word. I'm thankful, dear Lord, that you've given me a message, you've laid it on my heart. And I just pray that you use me abundantly. I pray, Lord, you forgive me for any unrighteousness. And I may come to this place right now, spotless, ready to deliver a message and be used by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray.
I have a very good friend who's into canvassing. Everyone knows what canvassing is. He goes door to door and he sells books. And he told me this story once where he knocked on this person's door and a Satanist opened the door. He's a devil worshipper. And he was sort of taken aback. Obviously, you would be. You're trying to speak about Christ. And they ended up having a good conversation. Now, he managed to find out that this Satanist actually used to be a Christian. And he asked him the question, why did you switch over from being a Satanist to Christianity? Sorry, being a Christian to a Satanist. And the guy's response startled him. He said, I was tired of the devil constantly being on my back. So it was easier for me to switch allegiances and I was at peace. Merciless. Our text for today is Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that just keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, what does this word patience mean? I'm going to be asking some questions. What does this word patience mean to you? Perseverance, did I hear? Endurance. Long suffering. The word I was looking for, hit the nail on the head, was endurance. The Greek word actually translates to endurance. And I love the way the ESV Bible, I tend to read the King James Bible, but when I'm looking up text, I like to look in different places. And the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, says, here is the call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. This is a statement of identity. I know that's been the theme for this week, identity. And Pastor Philpott spoke to me and he said to me, he wanted the theme of the three angels' message in identity. And this one text, Revelation 14:12, sort of summarized the whole of Adventism to me personally in the three angels' message. But what does it mean to endure? Now, I looked up in the Concordance and this is what it says. So I actually looked up the word patience, which led me to endurance. And this is what it says. The characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Now, there's no greater person for me that went through endurance. He's my favorite Bible character in the whole Bible. And he had a horrible beginning of life. His name is Joseph. Come from a big family of brothers, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, working in Potiphar's house, and then what happened? Put into prison. So let's take a look at this. Now, I've got a question for you. If you think about your life, would you have ever thought that you would face the trials you've gone through, or maybe even through right now? If you take a step back, like, you know, 5 years ago, I got married, and it's the happiest day of your life, alright? But with marriage, with anything in life, it's not always rosy. Things happen, you know. I don't need to beat around the bush, you know. It's not easy. Life isn't easy. Situations come about and it tests your endurance. But I'm thankful. 5 years coming up this year, so I'm thankful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, Joseph was entrusted in this house. He was given loads of tasks. He was sort of the boss out of all the servants. And here you have this wife of his master, Potiphar. Now, praise God, I have the most beautiful wife in the world. Amen. Amen. That wasn't loud enough. Praise God, I have the most beautiful wife in the world. Amen. Now, I can imagine that Potiphar, right, the spirit of prophecy says that Joseph was finely built. I'm not finely built, I'm just saying, okay? But Joseph, I'm thinking of the Anthony Joshua muscles, you know, the cup body, you know, as he's working about. And here you have Potiphar's wife, and what she would have been doing is looking. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. So here you have Joseph, who's hard at work, going about his daily business. Okay? He is focused on what his task is. Okay? He's not distracted. As Christians, we sometimes are focused on what our tasks are. Aren't we? But here, you have the devil eyeing you up. Now that just comes with being a Christian. Job went through it. Countless other people went through it. And here you have Joseph, faithful. Now, he had to face some endurance. Now, he was trusted by his master, and his master, I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't leave my wife with another man, you know, if he's working for me. But Joseph was so trusted, he the character of God shone out from him, that Potiphar was like, yeah, I can trust me. In that moment, what do you think was running through Joseph's mind as Potiphar approached him? In our minds, when the temptation comes, what goes through our minds? The same temptation that Joseph went through is the same temptation that we go through in our daily life. It could be not waking up and studying our Bible because the news is more important. It could be pornography. Could be music, could be movies, could be absolutely anything. My struggle may not be your struggle. But he overcame the temptation. Amen? He overcame the temptation. The Spirit of Prophecy says, very interesting, it says his whole future life dependent upon the decision of the moment. With principle triumph, would Joseph still be true to God? With inexpressible anxiety, the angels looked upon the scene. Imagine Joseph became one of the right-hand men in Egypt. But that could have all been different if he had submitted to Potiphar. But instead he didn't. He ran. As Christians, sometimes you've got to run. Just have to run. No matter the circumstance, no matter what it is, you just have to run. If it's the computer, put it down. If it's the TV, turn it off, throw it out. Sometimes we just have to run. The things I'm running from, the things I'm struggling with, the things you may be struggling with, but we just have to run. I want us to turn to Genesis 39, verse 8 and 9. And I want to read what the Bible says. 8 to 9. 39 verse 8 to 9. Amen if you're there. But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has had to my hand. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" If only that was our attitude all the time. How then can I do this against you? Because I serve the greater master. His character was really shown in that moment. I have another really nice phrase from Christ Object Lessons. It says, it is in a crisis that character is revealed. In that moment of temptation, in that moment of disaster, in the moment where that things go wrong, is really where you see where your mind is at. I had a situation a few years ago. I was in ministry and the ministry sort of fell apart. And you know when you get so committed to something, and this may be within a church, we may have positions, we may be a deacon, an elder, you know, whatever position it is, Sabbath school teacher, you're so focused on your task that you forget your relationship with Christ. And that happened to me. And I lost my focus. And my world collapsed. So I'm in ministry, and my world literally collapsed. And in the crisis, my character was truly revealed, because I spent so long focusing on the ministry that I forgot about the person that needs to minister to me, Jesus Christ. It is in a crisis that character is revealed. Praise God for Joseph. You can see the enemy is always trying to get us, always trying to make us slip up, always trying to slow us down. In that moment, Joseph's character was revealed. But how does this relate to the three angels' message? Well, let's go to Revelation 14, verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand." Now, forehead. What's in your forehead? The mind. If anyone gives up to the devil in their mind or in their hand, what is hand? Action. So whatever you think, whatever you do, whatever you physically do, whatever you mentally think, if you give those up to God, what's going to happen in verse 10? If you give those up to the devil, the enemy, if you give the focus to the enemy, what's going to happen in verse 10? He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Holy Land and in the presence of the Lamb. And it says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image and the mark of his name. Now, what does it mean to have no rest? You're never going to be at peace. The temptation to stop is because we think we can just have a little rest. But the Bible says the opposite will happen. There'll be no rest, but torment instead. You know, when I've been tempted, there's been times when I've just given in slightly, right? And you think just giving in will give you peace. Now, my story at the beginning is a Satanist. Who really thinks he's at peace? Well, I don't think he was at peace. He can't have been at peace. To give your life up to the Satan, he can't have been beaten. Do you think as a Christian, he would have done that just like that? He would have given in once, then twice, then three times, and before you know it, he was consumed. We call that the creeping compromise. You creep a little, creep a little, creep a little, and before you know it, you're lost. And that's exactly what happened to him, the creeping compromise. Now back to Joseph. He faced the trial and distraction of the enemy and said, "No, I refuse." He made a stand and said, "I'm going to keep running my race. I'm going to keep running for God." He took his eyes off himself. He took his eyes off Potiphar's wife, and he endured by focusing on Christ. Joseph kept on going, no matter the circumstance. He ended up in prison for something he didn't even do. Did he give up? He made a stand and said, "I'm going to keep running my race." It was right then that his life changed, all because of his endurance. You know, Sister White says that sometimes God allows circumstances to happen to us because it's helping us to achieve a greater usefulness in life, a greater position, a greater position. He's training us for something greater. And this is what happened to Joseph. He could have been born, you know, lived with his brothers and gone straight to Egypt and been, you know, a ruler. But he wouldn't have had that life process where he would have had to learn to endure. He would have to learn that his focus cannot be himself, but his focus has to be Christ. That would never have happened. And sometimes, me and you in our daily lives, that's what happens. We think, you know, I'm attaining to be holy. I'm attaining to be like Christ. I'm going to go from a sinner straight here to God's right-hand man. But it doesn't happen like that. There's a process of endurance. Joseph answered the call for endurance. He kept the commandments of God and maintained his faith in Jesus. He knew a deliverer and promised that he would come. The character of Joseph endured till the end. The question is, will you? Last week I was at family camp in Wales.
First time I've been, never been before. And there's a group of guys there that go running. I don't know if anyone's been to Tetley in Wales, but there's a huge mountain, what's a hill, mountain, whatever you want to call it. But it's quite high up. And Sunday morning, 6 a.m, people go and, well, the men meet up and they go, you know, run up the mountain. And I don't know, I'm a sports person. I like to keep fit. I like to run. And all someone has to say to me is, do you want to? And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I haven't even listened what the event is. I'm there. I just love sports. So I woke up at 5:30, you know, read some of the Bible, and I was like, right, I'm ready to go. Walked over to the meeting point, and, you know, 3 people turned up. And there's me thinking it's going to be loads of people. 3 people turned up. Now, I'm praying about it, but I'm a little competitive. You know, as a sports person, I like to always push my body to the limit. So these guys, you know, we had a prayer, and then the guys were like, they started running, and these guys were running really slow. Like the first like mile. But I thought, you know what? I'm trying to do the Christian thing with the fellowship. It's not about winning. It's not the Premier League. It's just the fellowship. So I'm just running with them. And the first bit is flat. So then we get to the bottom of the hill, and I'm like, whoa! Now I don't know when I'm running so slow. So again, they were like, you know, go if you want to, go if you want to. So I was like, all right. I could see that they were just doing their pigeon steps running. You know, they're a fair bit older than myself as well, so, you know, I wasn't really complaining. So I decided to stretch my legs a bit, and I left them. And I began running up this hill. And it, you know, those of you who have ran up a mountain before, or a large hill, the higher you get, the harder it gets. There's no coming down until you get to the top. You know, and I'm the kind of person that I said in my mind, I'm getting to the top without stopping. I'm getting to the top without stopping. So I got probably about 20 to 30 meters to the end. And my knees were like, gone. I just wanted to collapse. And I just started walking. Gave up. In that moment, I just gave up. Started walking. Put my head to the ground and was feeling a bit dejected. I was like, I was almost there. And then, there's the most amazing sight I've ever seen. Not ever seen, but one of the most, I'm being dramatic. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. The sun came up from behind me, and the whole mountain was in the shade, it wasn't in sunlight. And just the top where I was getting to became in light. It was just shining like it was Moses' burning bush. It was shining, bright. And I heard this voice, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I go cycling sometimes with my daughter, and I have one of these baskets where she sits on the front, so we're cycling together, and sometimes she's getting bigger, sometimes it's getting heavier. She's getting heavier, and we get to a hill, and she's like, come on, Dad. And I'm like, no. And then we stay together, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we just go. And that came to me. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And I looked up at this thing and I kept my eyes focused and I lifted my head from the ground and I kept my eyes focused on the top of that mountain and I lifted up my knees and I began to run. So fast. It was like I'd never run that day. And I just kept running to the top of that mountain. And as I got a bit closer, as you're starting to get to the top, this draft, I was in a wind, sort of like a wind avenue, wind tunnel. Wind just flying in my face and pushing me back. And I began to slow down, but I was like, no, I'm keeping my eyes focused on the top of that mountain. And I kept on running, but I'm going like, I'm struggling, head down, I'm struggling. Just like that, and I push and walk. We get to near where we're trying to be. We get to try and follow Christ. And sometimes, you know, we feel like we're in the right place and then we get swept back down because the devil throws in a huge wind. And we get discouraged. But pick yourself up and look at the light. Endure. Have the patience of the saints. And God picked me up and I kept on running. And I got to the top and I celebrated like I won the Champions League.
I looked down and I thought, I did it.
And it wasn't in my strength. When I woke up that morning, it was all about me. I can do this. My competitive spirit came out. I wanted to attain the highest I could in my own power and my own strength. And it was only when I got closer to the top that I realized I cannot do this by myself. I need God to help me endure. I need the patience of the saints.
Turn to our Bible to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Are you running in a race to get to heaven?
Praise God, we can all be victorious. There's not one winner in humanity, but the winner of ourselves. We can all make it. We can all get the highest prize. If we focus our mind and switch our attention to the person that gives us that. It's interesting that you have to submit to God to beat the devil. There's no way about it. You cannot beat the devil by doing your own thing. You have to submit first. It has to be an individual submission to Christ to allow you and give you the power to endure any situation, whether it's drugs, pornography, alcohol, whatever it is. You have to submit. I don't know what you're struggling with. No, I have my own struggles. I have my own things day to day that between me, my wife, Christ, you know, we have our own struggles. But the first thing is submission to overcome them. And God will give you the strength to endure. It's interesting that if we go back to the three angels' message in Revelation 14, it's interesting that you've got angel 1, angel 2, angel 3, and they're all doing these things, right? But then the identity comes in verse 12. I'm on the wrong chapter, so I can't find it. If you read all the things from before them, they're all in italic, they're all in quotation marks. You know, they start from the beginning. Then I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." First angel's message. Second angel's message. Babylon is fallen. It's fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Third angel's message. Saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of the indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and forever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." End of quotation marks. Here is the patience of the saints, or as I like to read it in the ESV, where it says, "Here is a call for endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." The identity is attaining. Verse 12, "Here is the call to endure of the saints, those who keep the commandments." That is who we're meant to be. The three angels' message is the message that the angels deliver. We know what that is. But as an identity of who we are, God is calling us to be people who overcome, endure the trials, endure the tribulations, and attain the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That is what we're called to do. That is our identity. In closing, perhaps you have slowed down in your race and have begun to walk like I did, because let's face it, the race isn't easy. But just like the morning sun on my run, Christ is now even revealing Himself more and more. You just have to look up. So read Hebrews 12:1. Got two more texts, and then I'll get you to the lovely that you need. Amen. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us. I've
two appeals today. Very simple. And
to be honest, every time I preach,
and I study, you know, myself and my wife are studying for this message together, and we just, the conviction to keep going. And every time I preach, I know that the Lord puts a message on my heart because He's first ministering to me and my family. And my first appeal is simple. Anyone who may not have ever made a decision for Christ, but today's desire to take on its identity, to be one of those who stand for Christ, who endure through temptation, who stand like Joseph, who run from evil, who persevere through trials. If you're one of those individuals, and you want to keep the commandments of God, and have the faith of Jesus, and I just ask you to stand with me. I am one of those. I'm the first person standing. And I have a very, very particular second appeal. Anyone who has slowed down, or thought, like that statement at the beginning, easier to give up. It's easier to just let yourself go. I'm struggling with this. I'm tormented, but it's easier for me just to keep on doing what I'm doing, but still come to church each week. But you want to overcome. You want to endure. I want you to come and join me at the front. Every eye is bowed, everyone's eyes are closed. The eyes are open. Should be praying. An important moment. Hebrews 10, verse 36 to 39. Janice, you can play. Okay. As I read this, if anyone else wants to join me, feel free. I'm going to ask my brother over here to close in prayer at the end. But while I read this, if anyone wants to come forward, you want to endure, you want to overcome, come forward. Hebrews 10 verse 36 to 39 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have the faith and preserve their souls." The key thing is here, for you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. God has something greater for you. You don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. The call to follow the stream of message is the call to submit, to endure, so that we may be found in that number in the second coming of Christ.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.